WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Catchy colloquialisms in newspaper headlines don't often translate well. Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has these thoughts on what it takes to understand them.
I don't know how many times I've heard someone who is about to embark on the study of a foreign language say, "Oh, I don't really want to master the language or anything. I just want to know enough French or German or Spanish, as the case may be, to read a newspaper." Whenever I hear someone saying this, I recall a story I heard from a British linguist I know. He found himself in Cleveland a couple of years ago and happened on the following headline in the sports pages of the local paper: "Tribe, Homer, Barrage, Salvages, Split." Now, an American reader would have little trouble making sense of this. The Cleveland Indians, the Tribe, had hit a bunch of home runs in the late innings of the second game of a doubleheader, having already lost the first game, and so managed to preserve a split, one loss, one victory. But my friend was baffled, even after he read the accompanying story, until his American wife took pity on him and explained matters. He was so fascinated by the headline, in fact, that he took it back with him to England, where he posted it prominently on the door of his office and offered a free dinner to any student in the linguistics program who could decipher it. Needless to say, he hasn't had to pay off on his bet. As far as those Englishmen are concerned, those five words, "tribe, Homer, barrage, salvages, split," might as well have been a text in the lost language of the Etruscans. The fact is that in just about every language I know of, you can achieve a mastery of the most difficult literary text years before you can make sense of a simple newspaper headline. And contrary to what you might think, the newspapers that are hardest to read are just the ones that cater to popular tastes. I was in New York the day after Fawn Hall had given her testimony to the House Senate Committee on the Iran-Contra business. The headline in the New York Times would have been comprehensible to a German or Frenchman who had been following the affair in the foreign papers. It said, "North Secretary describes destruction of evidence." But the Lord knows what such a foreigner would have made of the headline in the tabloid New York Post, "Fawn Shreds Ollie." Of course, foreign newspapers are no less opaque. In Italy, for example, the press has devised a rich vocabulary to describe the almost unimaginable variety of government crises that have been a staple of Italian political life since the war. Add to this the universal European tendency to refer to political developments by dates, and you get stories which translate into something like, "The crisis may be slithering or superpiloted, but if there are no destabilizing hypotheses, it will result in a 23rd of May rather than a 17th of August." Compared to prose like that, Dante is child's play. Now, the point of all this is not so much that newspapers use a funny sort of language. They have their peculiarities, sure, but really, they're much more typical of ordinary language than high literature is. Most of our everyday language is designed for efficient communication with people who already know a lot about the subject under discussion. That's what makes the tabloids so easy for us to read. The language can be simple because the background is rich. But until we sit down to read somebody else's tabloids, we're apt to overlook the wonderful efficiency behind that simplicity. If you really have your heart set on learning enough French to read a newspaper, by all means, go for it. But if I were you, I'd take a 4 or 5 year subscription.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information